We're not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City in Sayre, America. Happy Tuesday, everybody. I hope you're having a good day. Nice day out there right now. Matter of fact, let's check out some temperatures. Boise City, 71. Beaver, 69. 70 at Buffalo, 68 at Lahoma. Butler, you're 68. Hollis, 70. Everybody's in the 70s right there in southwestern Oklahoma. 70 at Hobart, 70 at Tipton. Let's see what's happening out here in the panhandle of Texas. 68 degrees at Lipscomb, 70 degrees at Dozer, 70 at Wellington, 72 at Goodlett, and 71 at Odell. First things first, Brandon. Yeah, I think Brandon will be on here in about 10 minutes. Everybody keep the championship rodeo team out of Strong City rodeo production producers in your thoughts and prayers today. They were hauling a load of horses over there east of Butler and feral hog. Imagine that. Ran across the road and a semi hit it and looked like it overturned the trailer. I think some of the stock passed and some are severely injured. So all the horses, and so keep them guys Will and Miss Kimsey, sorry, I had a brain blank there, and Dusta, and their keep them in your prayers today. Bad deal. A lot of rodeo stock lost there, whole trailer load. So not all of them are dead. Some of them are injured, but I don't know the extent of the injuries. Get more information. I'll share it with you tomorrow on the show. So keep them in your prayers and thoughts today. And what else we got going on? She here first. Reminder, coming up this Thursday, here at the, or over there at Sayre at the Beckham County Barn Activity Building, the OSU Oklahoma Peanut Commission and the Oklahoma Cotton Council will be putting on a peanut and cotton weed management meeting, followed by dicamba training, coming up at 9 a.m. Thursday, March 26th. And dicamba training will be at 10 a.m. Maxwell Smith, OSU Extension Assistant Specialist, will make both presentations, and two ODAF CEUs can be applied for, one for each course. You are not required to attend both sessions. So, like I said, that's coming up day after tomorrow, Thursday, March 26th, at 9 a.m. at the Sayre Activity Building there, County Barn, we call it. Show barn. And then also coming up April the 2nd at the Stafford Air and Space Museum in Weatherford, registration begins at 8:30 for the Oklahoma Peanut Expo, and the program begins at 9 a.m. It'll be over by 2:30. They will be ODAF CEUs applied for there. Oklahoma Peanut Commission meeting will follow the expo. There'll be door prizes. What's on the agenda? Peanut market update, National Peanut Board strategic plan, Oklahoma Peanut Council update, federal farm policy changes, new peanut variety information, and then weed and disease field trial results. And this is be put on by the Oklahoma Peanut Commission and the National Peanut Board, April the 22nd. And also, I have it. Let me find it. Coming up in Beaver. Where'd you go? There we go. Yes, there we go. The Ranger Road Fire Relief Fundraiser will be happening the 7th of April. At 12 o'clock, a meal will be provided. All proceeds will go to those affected by the Ranger Road fire. Please come help us support our neighbors and communities rebuild all that was lost. And a big thank you to Mike Weir and Tyson Fresh Meats. Guests will be include Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association, the Kansas Livestock Association, the American Angus Association, and the Working Ranch Cowboys Association Foundation. This is hosted by the Beaver County Stockyards. Again, April 7th at 12 o'clock, a fundraiser for the big fire that happened up there. And for any additional information, just contact the Beaver County Stockyards. I don't know if today would be a good day to call them, but anyway, call Dahmer at 785-633-5710, 785-633-5710, or the Beaver County Stockyards at 580-625-3051. And like, see, I think that's all I got on the agenda for right now. Okay, so I just want to go over this with you. Stir the pot up. I'm going to stir the pot up on fertilizer. Fertilizer prices have gone up somewhere around $200 to $250 bucks since the conflict with Iran has started. So I did some digging this morning. I just wanted to let you know how big ag and people abuse the market. And I'm not talking about our local fertilizer people. I'm not talking about like co-ops, Air Crop, and Smith, Ag, and Wheeler Brothers and stuff like that. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about the big boys. How they abuse the thing just like anybody else does. So you know only approximately 15% of the total U.S. fertilizer imports originate from the Middle East. That's it, 15%. That's a lot on the big scale, but it's not that much. The region is critical for specific nutrients, supplying about 30% of the global, not the United States, global ammonia, and 35 to 50% of global urea, making U.S. ag vulnerable to supply disruptions in the Persian Gulf. I don't bite off on that. We can increase our other stuff to get urea, but 50% of our fertilizer actually comes from Canada, imports. Nitrogen reliance in the U.S. is 25% of the nitrogen fertilizer used on U.S. corn, wheat, comes from the Middle East. Okay, that's roughly 25%. Phosphates. Saudi Arabia alone accounts for roughly 20% of the global phosphate trade, not the United States, and a significant portion of the U.S. phosphate imports. Impact, according to the American Farm Bureau, noted that the conflict-related disruptions in the region can immediately spike fertilizer costs for the U.S. farmers. And so, I asked the question to AI, where does the United States get most of its fertilizer? Canada. Canada supplies over half of the U.S. fertilizer imports. Okay? So, there you have it. I realize 15% is a lot of what if you total it all up, but I'm pretty sure that most of the fertilizer for the spring had already been applied and down. Not all, most, and the grass deal hasn't started yet. Maybe on some of it, but there's so what'll happen is, They jack the prices up to cover what they're going to import. And understandably, I'm talking about the big suppliers. They jack the price up to cover what they're going to import at this price right now. But the Iran war goes away here whenever, and prices, fuel and fertilizer prices come down. But it's going to take a while for the fertilizer prices to come down. Reason being is, maybe, maybe not. Some of these supply chains have bought a lot of fertilizer at the higher prices, so they got to recover that. They're not going to lose any money on that fertilizer. So there you have it. I just wanted to share that with you guys. 15% is all we import from the Middle East on fertilizer. Okay, today is the Stockman's Vet Happy Hour. Remember, call, set up an appointment to see your favorite vet, Dr. Mouse, at Stockman's to get your bull check ready to go, because it's time. I turned up one of mine in a couple days ago. I'm backing up the calving date to in December, a little further, and getting completely away from February right now. We'll see how that works out for me. So give Stockman's Vet a call down there on South Main. Set up appointment for a visit at 225-580-225-0200. Let's take a Stockman's Vet break. We'll be right back.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
You get up before the sun, ready to go to work. Whether it's 35 degrees or 95 degrees outside, you'll spend the next 10 or 12 hours out in it. In the field or in the barn, with the crops or with the cattle. No paid holidays, no paid vacation, no company 401k, but you love it. Napa Auto Parts appreciates what you do for all of us. Agriculture isn't a job, it's a way of life. During National Agriculture Week, Napa wants to shine a light on what you do to make life better for everyone.
It helps to work with someone who's been down the same road you're traveling. Someone who knows what you're up against and what you're going through. When it comes to farmers and ranchers, that's us. That's who we are. Our lenders know ag inside and out because we're producers too. We approach it like a partnership. We want to put ag producers in position to be successful. We're very laid back and easy to deal with. And people seem to like that. We think you'll like it too. I'm Marty Maddox. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend farmers and ranchers a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Hey folks, this is EJ Gredeman with ASCO Equipment out of Elk City, Oklahoma. If you need rental equipment, I got your back. From excavators to wheel loaders, telehandlers, and forklifts, we rent the brands that you know and trust. With flexible terms, responsible service, and expert support, we're here to keep your job on track. Need equipment? We're on it here at ASCO Equipment. Visit ASCOEQ.com or stop by our Elk City branch, 513 West 20th here in Elk City, Oklahoma, or you can just give me a call, 580-243-9233. Appreciate it, folks, and y'all have a blessed day.
When your tractor has a flat, you're stuck. When your truck's on a construction site and a tire goes down, you're in trouble. You need help. So you call down to Blair, and they come to you. They answer the phone, and somebody comes to wherever you are to fix your problem. They carry Firestone, Michelin, and some other tires. Blair Tire and Feed, Highway 283 and 19. On-site tire service, 563-2692. 563-2692. They come to you.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weight, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op Gym at 720 South Main in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. That's Farmers Union Co-op Gym, 720 South Main in Elk City, 580-225-0191.
You don't want to let your cotton set in the field day after day waiting to be ginned. Now to better serve you, the cotton farmers in Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle, Lone Star Gin has processed over 540,000 bales of cotton. They've got locations in Pampa, Texas, and now in Burns Flat, Oklahoma. Lone Star Gin has the ability to process over 2,400 bales per day. All they do is gin cotton. Go to LoneStarGin.com for more information, and you can find them on Facebook.
The McIntyre Red Angus Partners in Progress Bull and Female Sale is Monday, March 30th at Sweetwater, featuring over 70 registered Angus bulls, 40 commercial Red Angus pairs, and 100 commercial Red Angus open heifers. View the sale online at cci.live. For sale information, go to mcintyreredangus.com. A lot of great cattle are for sale near Sweetwater the last Monday in March. The McIntyre Red Angus Partners in Progress Bull and Female Sale is Monday, March 30th at 1 p.m. at Sweetwater.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. Let's check out the Central Crop Care Grain Market Update real quick. May wheat out of Kansas City, 608 up 5 1/4. July, 624 up 5 3/4. Corn, May, 464 up 5. July is 474 up 4 1/4. Soybeans for May, 1160 down 3 1/2. July is 1176 down 3. Soybean meal. Let's see if I can get my screen to move there. There it is. May, 323.10 down 35. And July is 320.40 down 28. Oats for May, 333 down 6 1/4. See what the cattle doing. Looked pretty good earlier when I looked. Yeah, still doing all right. Live cattle, April, 235.70 up 40. June is 235 even up 35. Feeders for March, 360.25 up 180. April is up 280 at 355.27. May is 351.40 up 305. Lean hogs still going backwards, down 2 cents for April at 90.77. There you have it. Well, on the phone right now with me is the road worry, Brandon Hickey.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
I'm good. I ready for rain. I wish you'd get that rain dance going. It's time for some moisture.
Well, I didn't know whether I should go play some golf and shorts and get sunburned on my legs and then do the naked rain dance.
So,
hey, I had a weird text this morning.
Uh-huh.
And it said, does the cranky old lady cook the do the cafe at Western Oklahoma? And I honestly didn't know. What is the answer to that?
That is no. It's a different lady. Does it at WOLA. I actually asked the cranky old ladies when we opened that back in 2020, and they said they did not want to drive that far. So they had an opportunity, but they decided they didn't want to do that. That's just too far of a drive for them.
Well, it's probably a good probably a good deal. We don't need her to be real cranky.
Yeah. We got a lady by the name of Luana Lee that runs it over there. She's not near as old nor near as cranky.
And she's not my cousin that I know of. So I guess I'll have to come over there some Monday. Maybe just come over and do my show over there and meet her.
That'd be all right, yeah. We got a big, nice lobby where you could do it. And it would block the sound so you wouldn't get too much of the background of the auctioning in. That'd be a good deal.
Yeah, no, I'll have to do that. And I get to get that on my agenda. I'm waiting for the new parts for the board to come in, and then I'll go mobile again. I've been kind of holding off because I don't want to get away from the studio and the board not react with me, because it's not the lack of electronics at this place. It's the lack of knowledge with this guy running the board.
It's just like a lot of other things in life with us, me and Jimmy. It's all about the order of which you push the buttons, you know, and they might change from time to time.
Yes. Yeah, the only reason why they change is because somebody pushed it wrong. So, and I promise you, it's Jimmy. Once you're a redneck, you're always a redneck. I don't care what you do. So, well, let's get started over at Elk City. I know you were gone to Arizona. The son was out doing some shooting. Matter of fact, before we get into that, let's tell everybody how number one son did.
He did real good. Had a real good weekend. Shot Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the Western Regional Sporting Clays Tournament. It was about 540-some people in the tournament all total. It was 44 in his class, and he ended up third in his class in two out of the three events. So had a good weekend. Didn't think he was doing that great. Was not really happy with his percentages, so to speak. But the targets was just so tough that they were tough targets. Everybody was struggling more than what you realized. And so anyway, ended up doing really good. So Ended up third in the super sporting in his class, as well as third in the sporting clays, the overall sporting clays, the main event tournament, which is 200 in the main event tournament scattered out over 3 days in three different courses, and then 100 targets in the super sporting clays, which is just day. So,
what? Where was that at exactly?
Tucson. Yes, sir.
Okay, yeah, broke up there for a second. Cool. And so, what is? You said he got third in the super sporting. Is that right?
Yes, third in the super sport event and third in the sporting clays. Yes.
So what is the super sport? Help me out there.
So the difference between the super sport and the sporting clays, it shows throws you the same pairs, you know, depending on what tournament you're at, you see the same pair, you know, 3 to 6 times.
Ooh.
And super sporting, you step up there and there's 3 throwers and you see a couple of singles and 3 different pairs, and it comes from all 3 of the different throwers. So you never see the same pair twice. So supposedly you should have a higher score in sporting clays, because if you don't figure out the pair the first time, you're seeing it again, and you know you're supposed to get it figured out as you shoot those, you know, 3 to 6 pairs. And in super sports, you don't ever see the same pair twice, so you're supposed to have a not as good of a score in super sports as you do in sporting clays. But that's not always the case, as was with Nate this weekend, that his percentage in the super sporting was better than his percentage in the sporting clays. But that's the difference between the two. You see the same pair 3 to 6 times in sporting clays, and you don't ever see the same pair twice in the super sporting.
Right. Well, sounds like he's looking. His big sister Emma, you know, she probably made him at that, because he never knew what she was going to do to him next. So he was doing pretty good in the super sporting.
and the thing that just makes me shake my head about Nate, you know, he'll walk up there and 9 times out of 10 he'll get the first pair, no matter what it is. You know what? In the sporting clays, he'll get the first pair. Well, you know, if you get the first pair, you ought to get the next 2, because they don't change, and he's liable to miss 1 or 2 or both out of the next 2 pairs.
he's already bored.
I guess that's what it is. He'd get right up there and just knock them both, break them both right off the bat, and then can't duplicate it. Just, you know, we'll pull up there. You know, we'll get up to a station and they'll throw the targets, and I'll think, man, it's going to be tough. He's going to struggle with this. And then he'll run the station. And then we'll get to the next station. I'm like, oh, yeah, he'll get these. This ain't no problem. And, you know, and he'll shoot a 3 or 4 out of 6, you know. You know, and I can't never figure him out. Every time I think it's going to be tough, he'll shoot a 5 or 6 out of 6. And then when I think, oh, this will be easy, then he'll shoot a 3 or 4 out of 6. But progression's getting better. It continues to get better, and that's what's exciting. I mean, you know, there was a time not very long ago that targets like that, and he might get a 2 or less out of 6. And I think all weekend long, all 3 days, I think maybe he had 1 station that he only had a 2 out of 6, and the rest of the stations, you know, he got at least half every time he go up there, and a lot of times, you know, get 3, 4, 5 out of 6. And so their sporting clays deal was, you know, you were shooting 6 at every station. It was pretty consistent. They didn't change the number of pairs that you shot. He was pretty much shooting 6. And I think one time did he get a 2, and the whole rest of the time he was, you know, 3, 4, 5, or 6. So, you know, that's progress. I mean, that you know, continues to get better. So that's exciting to see as he gets ready to head to college next August, and the place where he's going's got just a spectacular coach that's really, really good at teaching the deal, and he'll be able to refine him and tune him up even more. And I mean, you know, it'll be fun over the next 4 years to see how much that coach improves him. I mean, he's improved a lot on his own, but, you know, he's not had a lot of real real technical coaching, and that's what he's going to start getting once he gets heads to college next August. And you know, it'll be exciting to see if, how that improving his technical stuff ultimately, hopefully, will ultimately continue to improve his scores and just keep getting better. So.
Where has he decided where he's going yet? I don't know if we talked about this. I can't remember. Sorry.
Yes. He has signed a letter of intent to go shoot for Missouri Valley College.
Oh, that's cool.
Marshall, Missouri. And it's a little private school.
Yep.
And there's 1,600 kids on campus, 75% of which play a sport or shoot a sport. They have a lot of guys, lacrosse, soccer, archery, shotgun shooting sports, of course, football, basketball. I mean, but it also has a really, really good, a really, really personalized ag business program. And he got to meet, when we went on our visit, he got to meet the ag dean, and they had a great visit with him, and him and the shooting coach both have already started the process of getting him hooked up with a local businessman there that's going to have a lot of welding / mechanic and deal where Nate can go right in and begin to utilize his Votech training that he's got the last 2 years there at Burns Flat. So it's a small school, really personalized private school, expensive, but you know, because of his shooting and the time and effort he's put in, it's going to end up costing us a lot less for him to go there than it did to put Emma through OSU. I can tell you that.
well, that's a positive note.
Yeah, absolutely.
So does he have any bull deals going with you like Emma does?
No, he just started this year running some cattle. We actually got him a line of credit this year, just more than anything, so he could kind of learn the game and kind of you know, get the stuff. You know, he's entering all of these expenses and everything. Through his FFA project has always been either shooting or ag mechanic stuff. You know, he's not ever done any cattle stuff through his FFA stuff like Emma did. And so we got him started this year, got him a line of credit. The guys at Oklahoma Bank and Trust is really, really good to work with on these young guys coming in. And we got him a little line of credit to get started. And you know, he enters all of these cattle expenses and initial costs and everything in a QuickBooks program and keeps track of all that. And then, you know, as it comes out, as we sell cattle, he'll keep a little of the profit and stick it away for a rainy day. And then, you know, the rest of it put back against the cattle and, you know, and be ready to buy some more. So he's just kind of started learning that this year. We've got him into that. And he knows a lot about taking care of cattle and stuff like that, but the money side of it, he really just now getting to learn that. We just got him started on that this year. So
man, he sounds like he's on the right track because he likes golfing.
Yeah, he
likes golfing too.
He does. And it's kind of funny though, when we started this deal, you know, I told him what I wanted to do, and his initial reaction when we was actually talking about it on the way to San Antonio to Nationals. I was telling him what I wanted to do, you know, to get him a line of credit and get him started and, you know, buying some cattle and keeping track and everything. And his initial reaction was, no thanks, Dad. I mean, if something happens and those don't make money, he said, it's hard enough to make my little welder payment that I've got, let alone having to make a payment on something that I don't have the cattle for anymore. Well, that is true.
It is.
Something to be cognizant of, because that darn sure does happen. You know, there's some times that you know, you'll have some bunches of cattle that don't make money, and you know, you're left holding the bag. But so I said, that's absolutely your choice. But then he came back a couple of weeks after we got back, and he said, well, Dad, I need some more income, and I would like to learn about how to keep track of all that and everything. So we got started. And he sold his first turn there in January and did make money on his first turn. So far so good. We'll see if that continues as we go forward.
yeah, because I'm sure he's been around you long enough to know that, you know, there's ups and downs in this market. Right now is really good, but don't expect that from now on. And so, but I don't know. It seems like the market. Man, the demand's there, and it's holding tight and stuff. But Brandon, I need to take a quick break, and we'll be right back to start with Elk City.
All right, sounds good.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Most of your farm equipment has cylinders. Sometimes they know what's the matter with it. If it's leaking, they'll bring it in. If they just need a seal kit, you tear it completely apart. Replace all the rubber goods that's in the cylinder. Well, my name is Roy Jones, and everybody in Elk City knows me by Bird. And this is Camrock Supply, Elk City, Oklahoma.
It's 2111 South Main, south of Fred's Steakhouse.
I've known them guys for years and years, and they know what I'm capable of doing.
Kent Watkins here with SE Agritech in Elk City. Are feral hogs and gophers destroying your land and crops? We have the solution. Introducing Kaput Feral Hog and Gopher Bait, engineered for maximum efficiency and safety. Protect your fields and restore your property with Kaput. And we sell out-of-state customers as well. Stop by and give us a call at SEI Agritech on South Randall in Elk City. And don't forget to follow us on Facebook for all the latest updates and information.
Valley Center pivots are the most durable and reliable you can find. But when you do need replacement parts, your operation deserves the best. Valley Genuine Parts. Knutson Irrigation has been serving growers since 1981, and their experienced service technicians stand behind every part in their fully stocked warehouse. They also service other pivot brands. So when you need fast service and reliable parts, you need Knutson Irrigation. Call them for service or visit KnutsonIrrigation.com for more info.
Looking for the perfect venue for your next event? Look no further than the Frisco Center, located in the heart of Western Oklahoma. Whether it's a stunning wedding, a joyful reception, a memorable birthday party, or a professional seminar, we've got you covered. With spacious rooms and exceptional service, Frisco Center is designed to make your special occasion unforgettable. Located at 101 South 4th Street in Clinton, Oklahoma. Call us today at 580-323-7874 to book your date. The Frisco Center, where every event is a reason to celebrate.
I am a personal banker. That's my title. When you come in, I'm going to help you open your account, decide what type of account you might need. You're kind of going to tell me your needs. I'll tell you what we have that will fit your need. You have to have a valid picture ID and social security card. That's it. It doesn't take very long. I would say 20 minutes. Depends on how much we start visiting. I'm Tammy DeGarmo, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, March 9th. 1,575 head were sold. 5 head of steers at 431 brought 567.50. 14 at 456 brought 507.50. 4 at 580 brought 445. 25 at 806 brought 350. 30 at 909 brought 327.50. 5 at 1007 brought 305. 7 head of heifers at 525 brought 417.50. 17 at 599 brought 400. 28 at 655 brought 375. 8 at 719 brought 338. 4 at 804 brought 317.50. 11 at 861 brought 327. 20 at 1022 brought 289. Butcher cows were 10 to 183. Butcher bulls 130 to 220. Bred cows 1650 to 4300. Pairs brought 1700 to 4350. Western Oklahoma Livestock, Clinton, Oklahoma, sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey 580-497-6095.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Back to my first point that we were talking about there, Brandon, on electronics. As you might have heard there, it looks like I stored the new update in the wrong file yesterday. So, dang, now I got to fix that today. So, yeah, there we go.
I just thought maybe you'd been too busy, you hadn't got time to.
No, I know. I did it last night when I got it from Randy. So I stored it in the wrong file. There we go. So, all right, let's go to Elk City. And 1,427 head went through there, and prices are strong and look good. I think the one that kind of caught my eye was they was 15 from Wellington, Texas, weighing 454, brought 508. That was a really nice sale there.
Yeah. Nice set of cutter bulls that come in there. Had an, oh gosh, that was come A guy by the name of Strickland brought us 120-some head there last Thursday, and they got sorted up nice into some nice groups and just some good quality with good condition. And, they were very much sought after. This thing continues to be stout and good. Calves fully steady with what we've been seeing. Might have been just a smidgen cheaper on some of the replacement females, the bred cows and pairs, from compared to what we've been seeing. But I think that was probably mostly due to maybe not quite as good a quality and a little bit thinner. We had quite a few first calf heifer pairs that were a little bit smaller, a little bit thinner than some of them that we've been selling. They've been some good property to turned out and put some weight on and make you a nice set of cows that's a lot cheaper than what some of these have been costing around. All in all, just pretty good sale. Maybe just a little bit cheaper on the keep and take home cows, but again, that may have been mostly due to a little bit thinner cattle, a little bit slightly less quality than what we've been seeing week in and week out.
I got you. And the butcher cows and butcher bulls seem to me like they're up a tick, at least a little bit. It looks like to me.
Yeah, they're all in all, I'd call them pretty steady. They're just not really moving anywhere. The bids are staying pretty steady across the board with the packing companies. I know Cavness has been putting out a bid, but they've been giving their buyers a push. We need to get some cattle bought. So here's where we want to buy them. But if you need to push a little, you've got this much room to push, and you're not going to get in trouble, type of a thing.
Right.
That's a good thing. It continues to be good. It continues to be good competition on those. Now the next thing that we're going to see, remains to be seen on this now going forward is when is the next round of moisture going to come? That butcher cow and bull deal should stay pretty steady as we continue to go, unless we start, having to have a drought sell off. God forbid, I hope, hope we don't happen, that don't happen. Our numbers are tight enough as it is, but I'm starting to hear rumblings from guys, that their tanks are getting low, they're running out of water, the weeds is obviously getting short, but worried about whether or not the grass is going to come with the amount of moisture. Do we have enough sub-moisture to get it started and keep it going until we get our next shot of moisture? So hopefully we got some moisture coming pretty quick. It sure has gotten awfully dry, and nobody wants to see another drought sell off if we can avoid it.
Yeah, that was going to be one of my things. I'm hearing them rumblings too, there's not a lot of hay left over right now. There's some, but one guy said something yesterday, I got enough hay to go through all next winter. And I said, what about this summer? And he didn't say nothing. But I got a feeling probably around midnight, April 1st, uh-huh. I'll do that naked rain dance for everybody, and that whole next week we're going to have a chance of rain every day.
That'll work. You might get somebody start sending you some tips if that works.
Yeah, and I've already put out a request to the FAA that there'll be a no drone fly zone over my place that night, especially with thermals. So we'll see what happens that. So what do you got coming in this Friday at Elk City?
We're going to have another nice set of first calf heifer pairs this week. Blacks, few black moths, mostly solid black moths, and a few red Angus as well. Nice set of pairs, tagged to match, good program. I've got several sets of calves already on the list, a couple of sets of the weaned calves already on the list. So we're expecting maybe not quite as many as we had last week, but still going to be a good run. I just picked up a consignment a while ago of 62 3 to 6 year old cows coming from down in the Childress area, coming up this way. So they'll be some pairs on them, a lot of bred cows on them, several pairs, a few shortbred cows with great big calves. And we'll just kind of have to see how they age and break to know how many of them will end up pairing up. But a nice set of mostly black cows on that deal as well. So expecting a good run, maybe not quite as many as last week, but it'll be pretty close. So.
Okay. Well, let's go down I-40 to Western Oklahoma. 1,723 went through there, and the thing that you send me, there's not a bad price on that sheet anywhere.
No. Everything was a little higher than the week before. Just jumped up just a little bit. Some of the classes jumped significantly. The 6, 7, 8 weight steers, significant jump over last week. On the 8 and 9 weight steers and heifers, both, you know, they was I'd call them probably 4 to 6 higher, but man, some of those 6, 7, and 8 weight steers, gosh, there was instances of some of them 10 to 15 higher than they were a week before. Just a lot, you know, a lot more interest, a little, you know, things kind of level off a little bit. We weren't continuing to go down, you know, 2 steps forward, 1 step, or 1 step forward, 2 steps back on the futures board. It kind of lined out and looked a little better. And so they acted like they wanted to buy some cattle and had a good offering, more put togethers than the week before, not as many of the percentage was home raised, but still overall a really nice offering of cattle and multiple that, you know, this is what you like to see as a sale barn owner, you know, is in multiple buyers on different classes, you know, and you hate it those days when you go and you feel like one or two buyers is buying everything that, you know, sticks their head in the gate, you know, and you really like it. We have a day like we did yesterday and they're getting spread all over the place because that, you know, you really got a good competitive bidding going when you got, you know, multiple cuts of cattle going to multiple buyers all over the barn. So that and really enjoy seeing that.
Yeah. And I was looking on the steer deal there. You had two big groups out of Cordell, 835 weight, 819. And man, it was just a few dollars short of $2,900 a head. I bet that gentleman was happy.
Yeah,
it was good. It was real good.
Yeah. And that's what, you know, you look at, you know, some of those, you know, 1,000 and 1,050 pound steers, you know, that we had, and, you know, they just, you're bringing between $3 and $3.10. You're like, well, that doesn't seem all that great, but then you go to figuring the dollars per head, you know, them well over $3,000 a head on them rascals. That's you know, that's pretty good, you know, and some of them put together cattle, you know, that have, you know, and that's the thing too, that these cattle, with as dry as we've been, man, they've done really good. I mean, they're coming in at or above where they normally would be this time of year. You know, a lot of those cattle yesterday that we sold was cattle that you know, really, and truthfully, a lot of them cattle, was guys weren't really planning on selling them cattle till April or May. You know, and they brought them in expecting them to not be as big, and they weighed up really good. And that old dry wheat, you know, as long as there's bites out there for them to eat, man, it'll really pack the pounds on them things when it's dry like it is. And it's just been just good enough that these cattle have really done good and have packed a lot of weight on, which is really good for these producers and these guys selling them, because, you know, 99.9% of the time, that weight makes you money. So.
Yeah, pretty much. And there was some good numbers yesterday. Strong, it was really stout over there. And have you got anything on the agenda yet for next Monday there?
Yeah, we got 85 steers coming in from a gentleman there. It's been his home raised steers, the Black Angus and Red Angus. His heifers, I think, yesterday weighed just between 8 1/4, 8 1/2. So I'm sure his steers are probably going to weigh somewhere between 875 and 9, most likely. Good, really, really nice set of mostly Black Angus, few Red Angus. And then I've got a dispersal deal coming in from over there at Putnam. A gentleman's getting rid of his Red Angus and Red Angus Charlet cross cows and calves, and they'll be coming in there next week. Be mostly middle-aged to older cows. There could be, you know, a few cows, a few young ones on them, but a really nice set of middle-aged Red Angus and Red Angus Charolais cross calves with some really outstanding yellow calves on them.
Dang, okay, that sounds good. Well, before we go, I got a Cousin K story for you.
Okay.
So, last Friday, after I got done with my show, I walked across the street over here to the fishing shop over there, right across from the studio here, and I was in there looking for, I'm kind of getting the crappie urge, you know, and I've learned one thing, that getting back in the fishing games is just as expensive as getting into the golf game. So, but there was a gentleman in there. I won't mention his name, but he's from up Lady Way. He said, "So, are you Jimmy Clark?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "So, I'm getting ready to go to the sale barn. I go there every Friday. Would you like me to pass something on to Cousin Kay?" So, she's becoming famous.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it wasn't a real good story because I don't know what he told her when he went out there. So I need to find that out before I enter those premises again and give her time. That's why I don't order a hamburger or a cheeseburger or something like that when I go in there, because I just order what they've got on special, and it's less likely she'll spit on it.
Without a doubt. She has fully embraced her supporting actress role in the world of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Oh, she's a special lady, because he asked me, he said, "Which one is she?" And I said, "The one with the short gray hair and laughs like Roseanne Barr." That's all I could tell her. So, all right, well, I got to get off here, and Brandon, probably see you Friday.
Sounds great, Jimmy. Thank you,
mate. All right, thank you. All right, everybody, let's take a Stockman's Vet break. Remember, it's springtime. You need to get your herd checked out, up to date, however you want to say that. They need vaccines, worming, the whole nine yards. Set an appointment with Dr. Mouse down there at Stockman's Vet. And it is. It's time to get them bulls checked if you haven't already. Because there's only a few bull cells left. Matter of fact, I think there's one going on right now up there north of Arapahoe at the Harrison Hereford Ranch. So check it out. All right. We'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
The biggest mistake I've seen when people are purchasing insurance or coming in to visit with us is being underinsured. You know, the state minimum on auto insurance is $25,000, $50,000, and that's too low. I mean, if you run into somebody's new vehicle and it costs $50,000 and you only have $25,000 in coverage, that's going to come out of your pocket. So, you know, we try to make sure that our customers are insured how they need to be to get the coverage. I mean, if you're going to have insurance, you need to have it for the right reasons, and that's to protect themselves. I mean, that's why they have it. I'm really in the business of protecting the customer. When it comes to protection, it's not a large amount more. So go ahead and get the coverage you need.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
One of the computers here at the station was crashing, about to lose everything on it. And we didn't even know it. But Dennis knew, because he was watching, and he warned us in time.
Hey Gabe, it's Dennis. Our system detected that one of your computers has a hard drive that's about to fail.
Which one?
It's Nathan's.
So what do I need to do?
Well, we probably need to get it in the shop and get the drive cloned to a new machine before he loses any data off of it.
Do you have another computer in stock that we can just get it fixed real quick?
Sure, we've got some in stock. Just need to get it in, get it cloned over, and be good to go.
Okay, thanks a lot, Dennis.
You bet. Sounds good. See ya.
ITL monitors our computers at Paragon Communications remotely, so Dennis Teal knows there's a problem before we even know it. He helped us save years worth of valuable files. ITO's remote monitoring comes in very handy here at work. That kind of security system for your computers can keep your business running so you can keep making a living. As a farmer or rancher, you're always looking for ways to save time and money. The Apache Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding in Visalia, Oklahoma will help you do just that. The Apache Hay Wagon eliminates 80 to 90% of hay waste with its unique design. It hauls multiple bales, saving you time and money. Go by Everett's Welding today and ask to see the Apache Hay Wagon. You'll be glad you did. You can also visit them online at everettswelding.com. Every farmer and rancher knows nutrition is key when it comes to getting the best out of every animal. HiPro Feeds has built their reputation on providing the best nutrition possible. Their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. HiPro is a name you know and trust. Buy the best and get the results you deserve. Hobart Farm and Garden is your trusted HiPro Feeds dealer, providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. Visit them online at hobartfarmandgarden.com.
XIT Auctions has the big Kiowa County Farmers and Ranchers Auction Saturday, April 4th, on the gin yard in Lone Wolf, Oklahoma. Selling trucks, tractors, trailers, farm equipment of all kinds, and much more. Now to consign, call me, Aubrey Latham, 393-4440, or check all the details out at xitauctions.com. That's Saturday, April 4th, on the gin yard in Lone Wolf, Oklahoma, 393-4440. XIT Auctions, ready to work for you.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Let's check out the Hobart Farm and Garden Ag Weather Update for Southwest Oklahoma. Let's go to Altus. Haven't been to Altus in a month or so. 74 degrees, dew point's 48, humidity's 40. The winds are out of the east-southeast at 11 miles an hour with wind gust up to 18. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 67 degrees. Sunset at 7:51. Mostly sunny and 84 today. Clear 55 tonight. Tomorrow, sunny and 95 with southeast to south winds 8 to 15 miles an hour with some gust up around 20 miles an hour. And that is your Southwest Oklahoma Ag Weather Update. Brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden. All right, what do we got here? About 4 minutes left. Let's check out tomorrow. If you tuned in today and you're like, where's Tuesday? Heyday Tuesdays? We switched it last week and we're going to Heyday Wednesday just because Brandon and I get to yakking and I don't shut up in time for you guys. Give me time to do a proper Heyday Tuesday. So we're doing Heyday Wednesday, brought to you by the Great Plains Bank. Oh, one big shout out. Speaking of banks, First National Bank Trust here at Elk City. Shout out to congratulations to Jason Redd, who's now the boss there. So congratulations there at First National Bank, Jason. I know you'll do a good job. You're a good man. So, well, while we're talking about some stuff that got to do with hay, milk production in the United States continues to gush, totaling 18.3 billion pounds in February, according to the USDA's milk production report. That's up 2.9% year over year. Production per cow in the United States averaged 1,899 pounds in February, 12 pounds more than the previous year. The number of milk cows on U.S. farms were reported at 9.62 million head, or 211,000 head more head than February of 2025. Cattle and calves on feed for the U.S. slaughter market and feedlots with a capacity of 1,000 or more animals total 11.5 million head on March 1st, according to the USDA's cattle on feed report. This was down slightly from the previous year. Placements in feedlots during February totaled 1.61 million head. That's down 4% year over year. Marketing and fed cattle during the February was down 7% at 1.52 million head. And so, yeah, beer went up too. I know. Yeah, beer's gone up. So anyway, also beef demand jumped last year. So what's going to happen in 2026? I think it's going to keep increasing. Domestic beef demand remains strong in the United States. According to the Retail's All Fresh Beef Demand Index, calculated by the Livestock Marketing Information Center, annual data for 2025 revealed a jump in retail all fresh beef index to 138, which was a 10-point increase from 2024. Based on the beef demand index calculations over the last 25 years, a 10-point jump in beef demand index has only occurred two other times, 23 to 24, from 103 to 113, and 2019 went from 108 to 118. Demand's there, guys. We can get some new heifers, having some new babies. Get that demand, keep it up. That's all we need to do. See you guys tomorrow. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust, Elk City in Sarah, Oklahoma.